Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Does my child understand? If this is a question that you worry about and worry about constantly, then this episode is for you. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. I especially want to thank the families from my in-person practice here in London and the UK for their willingness and honesty and their openness to sharing some intimate aspects of their life. So thank you. Partnering me in this conversation is the extremely charismatic Rebecca Rajkumar from Chennai in India, and you will definitely be hearing more from her later in the show. In fact, there is an entire episode that she just takes over. I'm just keeping quiet in it. So wait for that episode. But in this episode, Rebecca joins me in some very deep, honest, and candid reflections on those moments in her son's early childhood, where there were times when she really struggled about the fact that he didn't understand. So have a listen and be inspired. Does my child understand? I want to begin by flipping this question around. And rather than asking yourself or plaguing yourself with the persistence of this question, does my child understand? Does my child understand? I'd rather you ask yourself, Why would my child not understand? So let me ask you, why do you think your child would not understand? And the only reason I can come up with for a child who is deaf or hard of hearing not understanding, or for any child of any age for that matter not understanding, is if there is a disconnect between us as a communicating adult and the child. And when would this disconnect occur? It would occur when we are talking at a level or about a topic that is so far removed from your child's current level of understanding or her current level of interest that she doesn't have anything to grout her interest or her understanding into. She doesn't have anything to hook her understanding or interest onto. And so she's kind of left falling between the stools. And as we say in education, we always set a child up for success. So that is something that we never allow to happen. My guidance is always that so long as our child stays engaged, that child is listening and she is understanding. Maybe just in that moment, but she is understanding. And the best way to ensure that she understands is to make our interaction, or whatever it is that we're saying, doing, reading, playing with, talking about, meaningful. There has to be a context to which that child can relate. So a parent putting a little infant to bed is very often heard talking about, let's say goodnight to the moon. Good night, moon. And oh, look at the stars twinkling. Good night, stars. And you start talking about the moon and the stars and the fact that it's nighttime. And everyone has gone to sleep and all the animals that she knows have gone to sleep. Your little pet dog is fast asleep. Your little cat is fast asleep. And you know what? It's time for you to go to bed too. And it is by talking about this night in and night out that she is going to understand, because it is related to what she is about to do. However, if at that age you start giving a geography lesson, for example, on where the strawberry jam that she just ate is grown, there is no relevance to her life at that point in time. And because it's not relevant to her, there is no interest in her, there is nothing to engage her, and it is only then that perhaps she may not understand. Children always let us know when they don't understand. And more than understand, children always let us know when they really are not interested. I mean, to put it bluntly, when they're just getting bored. Hopefully it won't get to the stage where they start yawning, but you can tell from the glint in their eyes, or those glistening eyes, those twinkling eyes, those show the recognition of the connect between you and your infant or toddler or growing child, and the fact that your child continues to stay engaged with you. It might be with a look or a glance. It might be by vehemently shaking their heads and disagreeing with what you're saying. It may be by pointing. It may be by pointing accompanied by some vocalization, and soon with some verbalization, with words, with questions, with short phrases, but there is always some feedback that she is listening, that she is interested. And the default button, as my mentor Warren Estabrooks has dinned into my consciousness, is that trust that our child is listening. Of course, trusting that our child is listening presupposes that she has been fitted with optimal amplification. And by optimal amplification, I'm talking about being taken into and above that speech banana, or as Jane Madel refers to it now, as the string bean. It's no longer a banana, it's a string bean. So above the string bean, so that she can hear soft conversation, conversation at a distance, that she can listen and understand what is being said in noise. Maybe not immediately, but these are all steps in listening, all gradations in the difficult stages of listening, making it more and more challenging and training and honing that listening skill in her. When that is in place, and that has to be in place, because what we established in episode 5 of this podcast is that auditory verbal therapy is rooted in science, and that science comes from the audiology of optimal amplification and speech acoustics, and the combination thereof, and marrying all that to the development of spoken language. So to come back to my point, trust that your baby is listening and proceed trusting that she is listening. Because trust begets trust. When we trust that she is listening, we are observing her. We are waiting. There is the owl that we use from the Hannon Center's very important message from episode 7. On this podcast. And so when all those safety mechanisms are in place, we do have the assurance that not only is she listening, she is staying listening, she is staying engaged, and because what we are saying is meaningful and tied to context, she does understand. But there is our monkey mind that is always playing tricks with us and rearing that question, does she understand? And what do? We fall prey to it and we test. And how do we test? With silly questions, with interruptions, by repetitions of what we've already said, by textbook questions. For example, how many of this and what color of this? I mean, how is that relevant if I'm kissing the moon and the stars goodnight? It doesn't matter. It's not related to what I'm saying. But yes, if she's asking for a cookie or she wants another strawberry, then by all means, you've eaten so many strawberries. You want another one? Maybe. Okay. You can have one. That is meaningful, but then again, that is tied to context. But it's not a test question. And those interruptions that we so love, because we just can't resist that controlling aspect of our behavior as adults. And we are correcting their speech, we are correcting their grammar, we are correcting and checking their comprehension. And what does that do? It just breaks the flow of the conversation, which maybe had just taken off. It breaks the flow of the child's connected thought and therefore impedes her understanding. And it breaks the train of her auditory memory, because our interjections are imposing or are stuffing all kinds of noise into her auditory memory, and that continuity of thought that was so essential for a pattern to get embedded in a child's auditory memory is broken. And once it is broken, it disengages. It's very difficult to put it back together again. Putting it back together again means you have to backtrack, which again means repetition, which is not natural to the flow of that conversation, and that moment has gone. So let me play devil's advocate and ask you, all right, let's acknowledge the fact that, yes, perhaps your child hasn't understood. So what? Did the earth come to a grinding halt as a result? No. Children don't understand many things we say. Adults don't understand things we say. Our partners don't understand what we say. But does that bring a disconnect to our communication? It doesn't have to, and it shouldn't.
It is impossible, to teach any child any language word by word. It is impossible to cover. There are so many combinations and permutations because the shades of meaning change when we, use a word differently. For example, if you want to say, can you hold this for me? Hold on. The two very the only chance we have of getting our child to fluency is if I know this is hard. Yeah, I know this is hard. If we can momentarily suspend the fact that she is deaf, does she understand? She is deaf, does she understand? Suspend it because let me juxtapose that with, say, your little toddler.
Yeah.
Does it ever come into your mind that, oh, he's not going to understand?
No.
But does he understand everything you say?
No.
Does that deter you from talking on and on and about things that he doesn't understand?
No.
So I want you to get into the same mindset, with your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it that is preventing you? Because you are very chatty individuals. You're a very loving, warm, conversational family. So making us put on the brakes?
Parents of children with typical hearing are consistently explaining those things that their children didn't understand. And not in a pedantic textbook kind of way, as if to say that, you know what, a dinosaur is extinct and lived in. It's just we don't see a dinosaur anymore. Have you seen a dinosaur recently? I wonder why. And then you can use that as a discussion on the fact that it's extinct rather than quote textbook and page number and have a very structured series of questions that you go on firing at your child.
So I remember, ma'am, you kept telling us, like, don't water down the words, the vocabulary that you use with him. Don't simplify it just because you think he may not understand. So I remember on so many occasions, he would ask me, what is this word? What are you saying? He would look at me and that pause I know meant he didn't understand. So we would rephrase it, work around it.
What are your points when you got disheartened or, it's like, oh my God, this is just too much effort?
Many, many times. I remember when we were working with you, you always told me if he didn't understand what you're saying the first time, it's not his fault. Try and change the way you've presented that to him. So I realized there's no use droning on and on about the same thing. In fact, the reverse is happening now. He says some things to me and I don't understand them the first time. So I'm giving him the same nugget of wisdom. I said, please, can you change the way you're saying this to me so that I can understand
it down for me?
So my point is that they don't understand. We just explain it to them. When a child is reading and she falters, we just say the word for them. Because honestly, if I ask you a question that I know you don't know the answer to, the first thing is, why am I even asking that question? I know you don't know the answer. By repeating the question, are you going to get to answer the question better? I know you don't know the answer. So I would just tell you the answer. To get back to that example of the child stumbling in her reading, just give her that word and sound it out for her. And she will be able to, perhaps the next time it comes around, remember that this pattern sounds like this. And then she would recall it from her auditory memory. But if it's something that you know that the child should know, because you've discussed it before, prod him a little bit in a conversational way. Remember the time we talked about, or remember the time we went so-and-so? Do you remember you saw that and this was your reaction? Well, it's the same situation here. That's why the leaves are falling because it's the month of September and it's autumn. It's time for the trees to shed their leaves rather than talk about fall as in a formal way. And it's a season and it follows summer and then the next season is winter, etc., etc. You get my drift. So the simple point I want to make is trust that your child understands. And if she doesn't, it doesn't matter. Explain it to her in a way that she can understand and that she can remember. That is the thought I want to leave you with. So thank you so much for listening and for your interest and time in listening all the way through right up to the end of this episode. Coming up next is another one of those questions from our monkey mind. My child isn't talking. So remember to listen in. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.